Hey Siri, play Social Geek Radio.
Okay, Social Geek Radio podcast coming up.
Hello, geeks, and welcome to Social Geek Radio. I'm Jack Munson, your host and social media consigliere. Today, we have a franchise economic update once again from Tom Epstein. Today's episode is brought to you by Answer Connect, Scorpion, and The Franchise Show. The Franchise Show is happening again in person next weekend, May 15th and 16th. Over the years, over 540,000 business ownership candidates have attended the Franchise Show's events, and I will be there podcasting live from the exhibit hall floor and chatting with great brands like Celebrity School, Honey Baked Ham, PuroClean, and more. If you're interested in exhibiting and speaking to great candidates in person at any of these events, contact Michael Higham at michael@nationalevent.com about available booth space. For more info, check out franchiseshowinfo.com. All right, geeks, today our economic geek is joining us once again. It's Tom Epstein, founder of Franchise Payments Network, Pollinate, and more. Tom, how are you?
I'm doing great today. Thanks, Jack. I appreciate you taking the time to talk with me today.
We're looking at the calendar, and it's like about a year ago, you and I started chatting about the state of franchising, you know, and at that time, I think we were looking at this sort of as a month by month thing. You know, when are we going to crawl out of this situation that we were in the spring of 2020? So we've been in this for just about a year. Are you seeing anything just from a very high level before we start looking at some numbers, anything at a very high level that you'd like to share with us on kind of where you see we are at right now?
The numbers will speak for themselves. You know, I think we're in a very good spot at the moment. You know, I was doing a monthly update on LinkedIn and sharing this information with your listeners as well, you know, all the way up through like October, November, but then it started becoming a little bit redundant as we were looking at, you know, the numbers going against, you know, the 2020 numbers going against 2019. And so, you know, I just did another one, and that's probably what prompted this this visit today was, you know, I'm really looking now at how these numbers are going to compare this year against 2019. 2020 not being as relevant in my mind because we, you know, we did hit pretty rough patch early on with COVID. When you look at March of 2020, you know, I think most of the shutdowns started happening in most areas around the third week in March, somewhere in there.
Yep. It was St. Patrick's Day was sort of the milestone in my mind.
Okay. That's when everybody turned green and got sick.
Yeah, that's when we stopped going to bars here in the Midwest. So
I don't think that stopped the Irish. I don't think so.
Right. Well, especially down in your neck of the woods in you know, radio free America, things didn't lock down quite as bad. But I do love that idea that you're comparing data from now to 2019 and basically saying the year 2020 was, you know, sort of a big, you know, a mulligan, just to keep the Irish vernacular going here, right? We're just going to forget 2020 and let's compare 2021 to 2019. I think that's legit. I think that's that also takes away that opportunity for some sales and marketing people to say, you know, hey, Mr. CEO, look at what we're doing against last year. Well, yeah, no kidding. Last year was 2020. Right. You know, what are you doing against 2019? So I love that idea of just kind of skipping back one more year.
Well, I've been doing some financial modeling for some other things that I've been doing here as well. And you almost have to go back to 2018 as well. And I don't have the numbers here in front of me to do that with you. But, you know, when I look at, you know, what a franchisor or a franchisee should do. And, you know, obviously, you know, a lot of people are using their sales numbers and their revenue numbers to try to acquire capital to do different things this year. You got to look at 2018 and say, okay, what was my increase from 2018 to 2019 to kind of project your growth rates, right? And so, you know, when we are looking at 2020, like March of 2020 to 2019, it was flat. And it should have been up. You know, historically, we see same store sales up and, you know, in the 20% range or 15 to 20% range because of the way of the nature of our business. Because, you know, when we sign a merchant on, it might take them a month or two to get going. So it's, you almost always see an increase same store sales year over year, unless something big happened, mm-hmm. like COVID.
Right.
But so, you know, we saw March being the first year, being the first month that, you know, COVID impacted the economy. We saw that as flat. Well, if you look at what should have March of 2020 been, had there not been any COVID, you really have to go back to 2018 and see what was 2019 above 2018. And then what should have 2020 been above 2019 to kind of project your numbers, right?
Yeah, looking at sort of a trend of growth using
exactly
2018, almost like a benchmark, especially for some merging brands or something like that. Like, where were you at in 2018 compared to 19? And let's forget 20 and now go right to 2021, right?
Yeah, yeah. And so, you know, some of the numbers I'm going to give you would compare 21 to 19, knowing that there's a year there in the middle that's, you know, a little bit weird. So, you know, my numbers might be a little bit higher than they would have been could we compare to a normal 2020, right?
Yeah, yeah. Well, let's take a look at some of those numbers. Just overall growth, what are we seeing in same store sales or whatever else you're looking at, 2021 versus 2019?
So, yeah, so when I looked at March, and again, I'm reminding you that March of 2020, we were basically flat.
Yeah.
And also know that, you know, in April, everybody took a big hit. All of our clients took a big hit. Everything was, you know, that's when everything went down. And then we started finding our way back a little bit throughout the year. And we actually ended up the year, same store sales, volume processed up 5% in 2020. So it wasn't the total disaster everybody would have you believe.
Yeah.
It's not the number I would have wanted. But an up is an up, right?
Right.
We like it.
Right. And as I say all the time on this podcast, in the spring of 2020, if you would have said, hey, we're only going to lose 50% of everything, I would have said, I'll take it. Right. Mm-hmm. So yeah. To have anything that's a little bit above zero is a win in my book for the year.
Oh, 100%. And, you know, we're not talking about FPN here. We're talking about your listeners. These are the franchisors and the franchisees who are listening here. So
yeah, ask you about that. Actually, the numbers we're talking about, this is a group of, you know, ballpark, how many franchise brands and locations are we looking at here?
Yeah, we have about 200 franchisor brands that we work with. And the good news, strictly for FPN and not necessarily for all of our customers, is that we have a very diverse portfolio, right?
Right.
So 40% of our franchisor brands are in the service space. So it's men in a truck, people that are out there doing services like flooring or handyman or carpet cleaning or other types of cleaning or, you know, whatever, you know, service, truly service type brands. And then about 40%, maybe a little less, but right around 40% of our merchants are in the food service space. And primarily it's small ticket. You know, we don't do a whole lot of fine dining. So it's mostly going to be fast casual.
Good.
And down
good.
To the dessert space, you know, like the frozen yogurts and stuff like that, right?
Got it. Okay.
And then the other is, you know, then we've got 20% that is kind of a mixed mash of things, but we have some gyms that are on membership. You know, we have some spas or salons. We might have a little bit of retail, but not much. There's really just not much retail and franchising to begin with. So it's the other 20% is kind of the mishmash. And really the space that saved my numbers and my company was, you know, over the first part of COVID was the service brands. They really did extremely well coming out of that. And I kind of, I kind of equate that to you're stuck at home. You're looking at those drapes that you should have replaced 10 years ago. You're looking at the tile that is messed up or the carpet or whatever. And you no longer have an excuse not to call somebody to come out, because the biggest problem with getting the service guy out there is waiting for them to show up, right?
Right.
And being there.
Right. And scheduling it when I'm not going to be in New York, Las Vegas, or other.
And you're already there. And then I guess a lot of people are going, hey, life is different now. I might actually be working out of my home for that one. So let me make my office look nice.
Right. You know, I really want to make this kitchen tile look a little bit better than, I'm going to be looking at it 365 days a year now. Yeah.
Yeah.
And outdoor stuff too, right? Because people spent the last year doing more fun in the backyard with the kids and, dealing with their lawn care and their pool care and all of that stuff, I would assume.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I think this has been a pretty good year for, real estate people who are trying to figure out ways to get more value out of a home. Well, people have been fixing up their homes, right?
So. Yeah. And I think it's going to continue. We'll get into some future looking trends in just a moment, but I think all of that stuff is not going away anytime in the near future. I mean, okay, so we're all vaccinated now and we're all cool to do whatever, or, whatever the government says next, but I still don't see anybody jumping on a plane and going off to France or Italy this summer, right? I think we're going to be spending a lot more time in the pool, in the backyard, and in the kitchen at home, at least for the next year, if not longer.
Yeah, I think it's going to be kind of a slow, ease back into that kind of thing.
Yeah.
I don't think anybody could really just sit here today and say, hey, by July, you could go anywhere you want in the world. Nobody's going to be able to think, but there'll be places you could go or different things you could do based on that particular region. But I agree with you, right? And just look at the life you and I are living. We were talking before we got on this. It's, projecting out, where are we going to get new business? What trade shows are actually going to happen? And how are we going to, approach those? And, are they smaller events? And do you get more out of a smaller event? So, those kind of things or kind of easing back into the economy. So
yeah, very good. Anything else you want to share with us about just overall growth in numbers from now compared to, let's say, April or March of 2019?
Well, yeah. So as I was looking at these numbers, and I was looking at March of 2021 versus March of 2020, I mean, we were way up, right? But then I started thinking, oh my God, what is going on here? So then I went back to 2019 and I'm looking at it, and same store sales were up 31.7% March of 2021 versus 2019. And so that kind of holds true to where I'm thinking, we want to be between 15 and 20% growth on, volume. And so we're picking that back up now, right?
Yeah.
So it's almost like you're right that we missed a beat, but now we're back where we should be. I mean,
we
still gave a lot up in 2020. Don't get me wrong. We're not making it all back, but we're where we should be. Right. And I look at April, which just finished off, and I mean, we were up 92% over 2020, which is crazy.
Right.
But that was the worst month we had. And for us, for our portfolio in 2020 was April. And then everything started coming back. And we were up 30.5% over April of 2021. The thing that I think is kind of driving a lot of this, though, because you're definitely going to see numbers from folks that are looking at attrition rate of franchises, how many actually reopened, how many, are they selling, but it takes a little while once they sell today versus getting them open, 6 months from now or whatever it is, right? So you're going to see some of that going, well, I don't know if the franchisors are really collecting that much more money the way Tom says they are. I think that there's been a dramatic shift in the way people pay. And there's a lot less going on, with people paying with cash, people paying with checks.
Yeah.
We've done a lot with our clients to ensure that they've been able to create a touchless environment, whether they're in the service industry or in the food service and you're doing pay at the curb or you're doing something of that nature. So one of the things that tells me that all of that is really happening is what we're seeing is a lot higher average ticket. So the average ticket in our portfolio, taking in, you know, the yogurt place that's getting $8 and the house painting business is getting $3,000, right? Or whatever it is.
Right.
You know, in 2019, our average ticket was $57.70 for April. In 2021, it was $75.29. That means people are buying more than they used to. And they're, and because of that, you know, it may be because of using a credit card or, you know, whatever.
Credit card app, something. But I mean, that's a big jump. That's, and I haven't done the math, but that's 30 or 40% from 2019 to this.
Yes.
Yeah. Wow.
Yeah, it's huge. It's huge. Yeah. So there's less transactions happening, but they're at a higher amount. And, you know, we're still seeing, you know, somewhere around 10% of those stores that closed down never reopened.
Mm-hmm.
So we see, you know, some of them are still carrying on the books. I don't know if they're ever going to reopen. They just haven't closed their account with us yet or not, but I don't know. But so through that whole thing, we were seeing about 10% of the franchises in the systems that we had closed down. Some were affected worse, some, you know, better, but, and then, you know, some came back over a period of time, but we're still sitting around 10% who have never reopened.
Yeah. Yeah. So not great news for them, but for those who stayed open, for an average ticket price to raise 35, 40%, I mean, that's amazing. That's a gold mine right there. And I think it's got to come down to consumer behavior as well, right? During this whole time, if somebody's going to get a room painted, well, why not get two rooms painted? You know, if you're going to order pizza for the whole family, why not get some extra pizza and some breadsticks and a whole bunch of other stuff because we're going to eat it tomorrow, right? And I just see, it just feels like people are spending more on certain things. And it feels like for a lot of franchise brands, they're just in the right place where people do need to spend a little bit more right now. So maybe that makes up for some of that increase in the average ticket size.
Well, I think that does. Your example on the pizza, I think is dead on because now people weren't going out to eat, right? And so they were using Uber Eats and Grubhub and, you know, the place delivered on their own or whatever, or they do curbside. But they didn't want to go out every single day to get something. So they would order more and know that they could have it for lunch tomorrow or, you know, whatever. And I think that there was a lot of that going on in the last year, and that did help with those numbers somewhat.
Back in a moment after this word from Scorpia. Franchisees partner with your brand to go into business for themselves, not by themselves, and your team works hard to support them. Yet, franchisees still say that they are frustrated and confused by everything they need to do to compete for new customers, especially as it relates to digital marketing. With social media, Google search, video, apps, mobile, email, and more, it's a constant struggle for your team to keep up and provide the support that your growing brand wants and needs. Scorpion is here to help. Scorpion is a digital marketing company that helps franchise brands and their franchisees get out of the weeds of digital marketing. With a combination of technology and expertise, Scorpion connects all of the marketing dots to provide clear, personalized plans that are measured against the one thing that your franchisees care most about, revenue growth. Finally, a cohesive brand-approved strategy for all franchisees. Scorpion empowers your team to provide exactly what your franchisees partnered with you for, world-class support that allows them to focus their time and energy on growing their business. To learn more, visit scorpion.co/geek. That's scorpion.co/geek. Is there anything that your clients are really asking you about as far as data and all of this information that you're sharing with us today? Is there anything that they kind of keep coming back to you on to ask you, what should we be planning for? What should we be doing? What trends are you seeing? Anything like that come to mind that you could share with us?
Well, I mean, the big thing that we're doing now is, and we kind of really did do it all for the last year, is taking a look at the consumer data. You know, what's working from an advertising standpoint, what's driving people in, tracking those sales at the point of sale, seeing what's really working, what are they trying to buy, where are they coming from? And we're getting all this data through the loyalty program. So when somebody signs up for a loyalty program, you could collect certain demographic data about that new member of the plan. And then you can run reports on them. So if you do, you know, some sort of email blast or a text blast or something like that, and you think you're going to get a certain type of customer come in, and you start seeing these people come in and it's not the people you thought, or they're not buying the product you hoped they would buy, you can start using that data to make some good decisions about your business and saying, hey, maybe my advertising message isn't right. I'm not reaching the ones I want to reach. Or if they're not buying that product that we're advertising, what's wrong with the product? Maybe we need to tweak it somehow.
Yeah. Or maybe instead of trying to get them to buy the product that we want them to buy, let's develop some other product or service that they're really looking for.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I love that idea.
Absolutely.
And your loyalty program, Pollinate, tell us a little bit more about what's going on there. I would assume that's been really active this year with, you know, all of the things that Pollinate does with, you know, ordering and curbside pickup and all of that kind of thing. I assume it's been a pretty busy year on that side of the house too.
It has, but it's also been a surprising year on that side of the fence. You know, we've been working with businesses now that you wouldn't think would normally be a loyalty client. I think most people think of restaurants, you know, food service, whether it's QSR or
the old fashioned get my ticket punched, right?
Yeah. Buy five sandwiches, get another one, or something like that. Or in the salon business, you know, they've been doing it forever with haircuts, you know, but we've been seeing a huge uptick in using the loyalty program as a referral program more than anything to help drive more business to the service industry people, because they need the leads and they understand this is a good time to jump on it. And so we're using that, you know, one of the key features in Pollinate is this thing where we help turn a current customer into a real promoter instead of, you know, the net promoter who you just get a score from and you think that they like you, but you don't really know whether they're doing anything for you or not. We created a referral program around that to where if a customer gets their carpets cleaned and they allow you to post to their Facebook, Instagram, whatever, all of your friends and family see it. They see that you got this particular brand to clean your carpets, you really liked it, and there might be an offer there for them to get 10, 20% off, whatever it is the franchisor wants. And it's driving those leads back into that franchisee to get new customers. And it's rewarding that original customer by giving them additional points so that they get more work done, right? And so it just kind of a snowball effect to help them do more and acquire new customers. But on the other side of it, it's also rewarding those customers. I've said this on a bunch of different places, and maybe even in the past on one of your podcasts, but, you know, as you're coming out of a difficult economy, you know, you have customers who have been loyal to you through it all. It's time for you to reward them and thank them for sticking with you.
Yeah,
you
know? Sure.
I mean, let's face it. If you're used to going to a restaurant and sitting down and eating and having a nice dinner, and now you've got to drive over there, sit in the parking lot, wait for somebody to bring you your food and come out with it, right? And pay, that's, you're asking them to do something different that they didn't want to do, right?
Yeah, stick with what was working for them, right? Yeah, sure.
You know, so reward them. These people that have been with you for a while, you know, do something nice for your customers and maybe set some tiers. You know, if somebody comes a certain amount of times, and you know that's the normal amount, but if somebody comes more than that, give them more, because they're doing something for you that, you know, that you really need. And I think that's really kind of the mentality that I like to instill in our merchants is take care of these people because they certainly helped you survive the last year. You
know? Yeah, they took care of you over the past year. And now it's time for you to reward them. A true rewards program. What a thought, right?
Exactly. Tom, it's not self-serving. Let's reward these people because they kept us open, right?
Yeah,
and
ultimately, absolutely.
They're going to just bring you more business anyway because you did it, right?
So Yeah. And if you could give us one referral, thank you so much. Right. Like that's, I think that's the whole game right there for so many small businesses. Tom, if any of our listeners would like to learn a little bit more about all the stuff you're doing, where can they find you?
Anywhere. I'm all over the place.
Okay. So LinkedIn, obviously we're going to find you there and read all of your great updates. What about website, anywhere else where they can contact you?
Yeah, probably the easiest way is under the Pollinate thing, because that's a simple email. It's just buzzme, BUZZME, at POLN and the number 8.com.
I love that. Buzzme at POLN8.com. Very cool. Tom, thanks so much for joining us today. And we look forward to catching up with you again a little bit later this year for another update.
Thanks, Jack. I appreciate it.
Before we go, a quick word from Answer Connect. Today, human contact is more important than ever. Make sure a live professional person answers the phone every time. Answer Connect makes this happen for franchises every day with a team of professional customer service experts ready to impress your callers around the clock. Answer Connect works with many different franchises and small businesses who need 24/7, 365 phone coverage, lead intake, appointments scheduled, or basic messages. They integrate with many of today's CRMs, which is just one more thing off your plate and one more opportunity for you to work on your business. Call Answer Connect at 800-584-0234. That's 800-584-0234, or visit answerconnect.com/franchise. And thanks for listening to Social Geek. We're here to help you get yourself ready for the comeback of a lifetime. This is the Social Geek Radio Network.